I am with Anna Christensen. Hi, Anna.
Hello, Serge.
So, you are a Zen teacher in the lineage of Charlotte Joko Beck, a psychotherapist and a focusing trainer. How does all of this fit together?
Yes, okay. I'm going to take it pieces and it will blend. Let me see where I am.
Okay.
I have been sitting Zen meditation for since the 60s, and people think sometimes you sit down on the cushion and you're assigned a practice. It could be breath practice or labeling practice, shikantaza, or wide open awareness allowing practice. It's tempting to think that you just sit down and you do your practice.
Mm-hmm.
But the mind, of course, has a mind of its own. And so it's going to be thinking. And so we're taught, just in some traditions, label that thought, thinking, or sad, thinking. And it should just dissolve. It should fall away. And often that happens. This is a training. The meditation is a training. There's no point in which you say you're finished. It's your lifelong training to really understand that while we have many, many thoughts, and we create the world with our thoughts, as the Buddha said, we are not our thoughts. Essentially.
Yeah.
So, when I discovered focusing in 1996, I believe that was the year the Zenlins came from Chicago and settled here in New York.
Yeah.
Upstate New York, yes. So, learning focusing was extraordinary for me because it gave me a way to be with some of those thoughts that were not responding to my formal practice.
Hmm.
And some thoughts just needed to be have more time as thoughts. And I started to think of bringing the focusing process into the period of the meditation. So our sittings are generally 30 or 40 minutes.
So I want to just check with you, just what I'm hearing is that in the meditation practice, there is the sense that you observe your thoughts, you label them as thoughts, but you're acutely aware that your thoughts are not you. And what focusing just brought in is a way, an additional way, of being with your thoughts during the meditation?
Yes. I'm in the meditation. If I need to work with certain thought systems that are coming up, they need attention. If I'm saying, having a thought, I wish I weren't having all these thoughts, not quite doing it. I need to really say hello to these thoughts.
Hmm.
Yeah. And the way that I see it, and I think most of us see it in the focusing world, is saying hello is acknowledging. The paradigm that it's a good thought or a bad thought vanishes.
Mm-hmm.
It's acknowledging. So that in itself gives a whole different interior experience to saying hello to the thoughts, not having to attend to liking or disliking, not having to push them away or ruminating about them if they're very pleasant. Just saying hello, and that's the beginning of the process of having a relationship with my thoughts. There's certain language that has to be used.
Yeah, yeah. So there is that attitude of just acknowledging the thought, not thinking of it as good or bad, and establishing the first step of a relationship with your thoughts.
Yeah, right. Now, I wish it were so orderly. Just because I said not thinking of it as good or bad, that doesn't mean that that's not what my mind is churning out. However, I say hello to that, you see.
Mm-hmm.
It's very expansive. Why am I doing this? Because I want to keep these thoughts company, so to speak. Obviously, the way I see it, the thoughts want an acknowledgement, want a hello. When they come, if I note them, thinking, sad, sad, it's sometimes not enough. They need a little bit more.
Yeah.
When I spend the time just to make just a broader statement, what happens when I spend the time with them using focusing skills, they fall away. Mm. The thoughts fall away.
So, in other words, when you were in your earlier training with just Zen meditation, there's a sense of recognizing the thought and then goodbye. And with the focusing, there's something you do.
Well, let me just say, yeah, because I think I'm saying a lot, and it's hard to
there's
keep
a lot.
Up with me. Hard to keep up with myself. So in the earlier instructions, we were always told just return to the breath. Whatever thoughts were coming were considered, at least in the Zen tradition, makyo, illusion, delusion, illusion. And from the absolute point of view, that's true.
Yeah.
But from the relative point of view, the mind is doing what it's always done. It's thinking. So going back to the breath sometimes works, often worked. If you're counting, return to one. If you find you're on 50 and you have no idea how you got there. So it's a training of returning again and again to being present in the moment.
So I want to maybe just say it a little differently. It's of shifting your focus, that you can go into your thoughts, or you can go into being absent-minded. Instead of counting from 1 to 10, you find yourself going to 50. And then when you notice it, just shifting the focus back to either the breath or counting.
Yes, that's...
So that it gives you something else to focus on than the thoughts.
Right, and the moment you notice you're up to 50, let's say, you've begun practicing again.
Mm-hmm.
You're back in the room, so to speak.
Yeah.
Now, where were you, or where was I before that? I was lost in my thoughts.
Literally lost.
Yes, which is what we are doing. Maybe the word lost might sound peculiar in this sense, but at least on the cushion, meditation cushion, lost in the thoughts, in the dream of the self,
mm-hmm.
as a solid sense of self.
Yeah.
And we're hardwired to be thinking this way. Of course we are. There's nothing wrong with this.
Mm-hmm.
So we get instructions, follow the breath, or work on a koan, or just do in Zen Shikantaza, just sit. And how to work with the mind became something that I was very interested in.
Mm-hmm.
I had early Zen masters who you when you went in to see them in Doksan, you never brought in a personal issue. For example, my daughter just left for college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been together all these years, and now I come home and the house is empty. You might say something like that, but maybe a response would be, just be sad, Buddha, you know, something like that. And I was not able to do that. And I began to just bring in some of my own systems, which is not necessary to go in here, but when I discovered focusing, and I want to say that it was one of the most extraordinary treasures I've ever experienced in my life. I want to digress just one more second and say that for me, focusing is a brilliant, extraordinary, skillful means used in the meditation process, on the cushion, during the 30 or 40 minutes.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
And skillful means is the way that Zen people and maybe Buddhist people talk about some of the things that we do, like labeling the thoughts, having a thought, even being aware of breath. These are all skillful means to just being present right here, right
now.
Yeah. But focusing is quite extraordinary for me.
So maybe you could talk a bit about how it works, how you use it as a skillful means in contrast to shifting your focus to counting the breath.
Right. Well, my particular practice is shikantaza, just allowing. I think that word is better. Allowing the fact that there's an ing always puts it in the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
So allowing whatever is there to be there. So whatever thoughts are coming, I'm not pushing them away. I'm not liking them or disliking them. Allowing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, this is extraordinary to be able to do this. And often we can do this.
So is there a way to transmit this experience of allowing in contrast to our ordinary experience of just being lost in the thoughts? You know, how what's it like to allow the thoughts, to be allowing the thoughts, as opposed to start to get lost in them?
Wonderful question. Allowing means I'm not attached to them. I see them there, so to speak, and sometimes can even feel them arising, might even feel a little bit of a grasping of a certain thought structure, and I'm allowing that. It's the ability to be there with whatever is arising. So whatever thoughts are arising, if there are thoughts that the content is sad or angry, allowing would mean, I'm allowing this. So maybe the word allowing might, I just realized, have a connotation of I'm doing something. Oh, I'm allowing that. It has something to do with me, in a way, even though I'm the one sitting. It's just the pronoun I is not there. Allowing whatever is there to be there.
Allowing everything that is there to be there,
so
as opposed to being hijacked in a way by the thought.
Great. And so I'll say a little bit more, and then I want to move into being hijacked. So allowing whatever is there to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Zen meditation, we sit with our eyes open in a soft focus, looking down. So we're not staring at the person across from us, sitting across from us. We sit in my Zendo, we sit facing each other. Most times people sit facing the wall, so there's no distraction, it's just a blank wall. But because of the way my living room is set up, we cannot do that with the furniture there. So we sit facing each other. Our eyes are open, looking down in a soft focus. Our ears are also open, because that's what ears are. They're open.
Mm-hmm.
And sounds of the traffic come, and that object hits the organ of the ear, the ear organ. And if my eyes are open, I'm either looking at the white cloth I've set down, but some people have to look a little bit at a different kind of floor thing. So whatever we're looking at, generally we're not using the sense door of smelling, because there generally aren't any smells in the room, but we're seeing and we're hearing. And in Buddhism, thinking is one of the senses. Eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, mind. So we certainly have access to eyes open, what we're seeing. We have ears, even if it's winter and the windows are closed, we can still hear the sound of the traffic, hear the sound of doors closing in the hallway. And we, because in Buddhism, the sense door of thoughts is one that we also allow. So yeah. When we're hearing the traffic, we don't generally have an opinion about the traffic. What we're seeing is no opinion about seeing whatever we're seeing in that environment. When we're thinking, given that this is one of the sense doors, six sense doors, it's not so. We have a lot of opinions about our thoughts. We become our thoughts. So this word allowing creates a whole new paradigm for being with the thoughts.
Yeah, so I like very much when they, and you put it in this context, it gives a sense that the same way as you're not trying to shut down the outside because you're going to be seeing it and you're going to be hearing it, but you certainly are not...
I just want to interrupt because it's happening right now.
It's happening right now.
In that moment.
Yeah. But for instance, you're not closing your eyes. So, but on the other hand, you're not also focusing your attention on it. You're noticing it. It's happening.
Yes.
And you're just letting it be.
Yes, ideally. But it's it's very spacious. And of course, you know, it can... one thing to do it on the cushion in that environment. But I, the purpose of practice, any kind of meditation practice, is to bring it into our daily lives. It's not no such thing as this is good for your practice, thinking that that's when you're in the zendo or the meditation room. Or it's your practice is your life. So we're training on the cushion at specific times each week, and then for longer times during retreats. We're training to not be swayed this way and that way by all the thoughts that come in our mind, okay?
Yeah.
So we're allowing. Where does focusing come in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Where
so
does focusing come in?
All right. my intention is allowing. The mind is just doing what it's doing. It's thinking. Sometimes it's very quiet, and it's very spacious. What is my experience? I'm just, if a siren went by or the person across from me, if they move their knee slightly, there's no opinions. But then other times, the thoughts are coming up like crazy. They're coming up fast and furious. And this allowing, let me just say it again so it doesn't sound like disallowing. The allowing gets lost. What do I do? One way that I think a lot of us do is to try to push the thoughts away. Try to push them away and return to the real thing, which is sitting on the cushion, allowing. But everything is the real thing.
Right.
Including when the thoughts come, and even labeling them does not push them away. So this, in allowing, we're not trying to push anything away. I work with focusing in that I extend a hello. Oh, you're there. Okay. I hear you. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I hear you. I bring my awareness specifically at that moment away from the wide, open, spacious awareness of allowing, which would include some hearing if there are, you know, traffic sounds or seeing. I bring, deliberately bring the focusing right into my experience at that moment. And I extend the invitation in that whole center part of my body, the chest, the belly, the solar plexus, the throat. And I might have a sense, because I've already become aware of the thoughts, but I want to wait a little bit longer. I've made the invitation for whatever thoughts are there to just be there. I'm now connected with something other than the linear thoughts. I'm connected now with the felt sense.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, you were saying that it's something that comes from that part of your body.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not just an intellectual allowing the thoughts.
No.
But it's your whole person.
That's right. Truly body and mind now. Except I'm letting mind come from the felt sense.
Yeah, letting felt mind sense, come from the felt
yeah,
sense.
The felt sense already knows.
Mm-hmm.
It knows, and when I have it just in the linear discursive model of just thinking, it doesn't know as much.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps having more thoughts, more thoughts, more thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what I want to do in my practice. So I'm saying that focusing is an extraordinary, exquisite, skillful means to bring right there in the midst of
mm-hmm.
the sitting period. And so I then do inquiry.
So just you're in the sitting.
Yes.
And as a thought comes, you're letting yourself experience it at a felt sense level.
Only if the other skillful means, allowing being the broadest one,
mm-hmm.
The noticing, the labeling, whatever I want to do with thoughts, because there's some sense that I'm not really involved. They're coming, but I'm not really involved.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I can watch them. They just come and go.
Yeah.
Because that's what they always do anyway. They come and go. But we glom onto them as if they are absolutely real. So sometimes I can do that. When I'm going into the felt sense is when there's a cascade of thoughts.
So in a way, when you're already a little bit, when you start to feel yourself starting to be hijacked.
Exactly. And in another way, I'm already practicing.
Mm-hmm.
The way I said before, the moment I notice I'm 150, if I'm breath counting,
mm-hmm.
I'm already practicing. Except this takes a deeper, stronger effort because they're thoughts that
mm-hmm.
have been
yeah.
Cascading. And so I need to attend to them in a way that thoughts need to be attended to be with them, to keep them company. Ask what more is there, to just listen, really make a space for listening.
Yeah.
And whatever comes, I'll give an example.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I was preparing. Do I have time?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, on the time that we're alone.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I was preparing for a retreat, session we call them in Zen, but I'll
mm-hmm.
say retreat. Although it's an odd word because we're not retreating, but it's an English word. I was preparing for a retreat at my house, and there were a lot of things that I had to do before the students were coming, the Sangha was coming. There were many, many things I had to wrap up in my personal life. And also I had to go out and I had to buy, you know, paper cups and paper towel and paper tissue and toilet tissue, whatever, and water, many things I had to do, and take care of everything else, and get the apartment ready. And I was feeling a lot of pressure, but I have this part of my personality, just forge on, just keep doing it, which is all that I could do, right? But there was something, there was like a Greek chorus, I'll call it, in
mm-hmm.
the background.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to push the thoughts of some of them being even a little bit overwhelmed. Am I going to get this done? Am I going to get this done? You know, I don't know. I mean, they're coming in the morning, and they're going to be there until 9 o'clock in the evening, and I have to see each person separately
mm-hmm.
and be there and give a darn. And so I'm doing and I'm doing, and all right, so I did everything. And fast forward the next morning, the Sangha arrived, and we're all sitting on the cushion. I ring the bells. I'm sitting with everyone else. Sitting is another name for meditating. We don't say meditating, and we say sitting. And my thoughts were going a mile a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, you know, the ordinary thing that the mind does is just to try to get rid of some of those unpleasant thoughts and push them away, but they just kept coming back. So there is a part of me that now knows there's something I'm feeling in my body, in that middle part.
Mm.
I'm not able to identify it. I'm not even calling it. I'm going to start doing focusing and connect with the felt sense. But there is some body part mm-hmm. that I am feeling. And also I want to say again that in these six sense doors, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, mind. Body is very much something that we're tuning into.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm now bringing an awareness into my body. And that moment, I'm already, there's another awareness. Oh, come into the felt sense.
Mm-hmm.
See? This, because this is part of the training.
Yeah.
I've been training in my meditation. I've been training in focusing. So I make room for the felt sense. I'm with it. All of a sudden, a song comes. Now, the song came from inside. It didn't come in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And the song was something that I had heard on MTV or whatever it was, a singer that I hardly know, and I can't say that I'm fond of. She's not someone I would seek out, but she was singing a song. And it was a song called, it was Toni Braxton, and she was singing, I gotta be strong, you gotta be this, you gotta be strong, you gotta be that. And I immediately felt something completely open.
Mm.
This was able to tell me what the Greek chorus was saying, keep going, you can't stop, you have to keep going.
Mm.
The Greek chorus was pushing me, and I said, yes, I'm going. What I was not able to connect with was, I don't feel strong.
Mm.
I don't feel strong at all. I feel like I can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
I need some help here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not something that we so easily allow ourselves to feel when we have a big agenda. We just mm-hmm. keep going.
Yeah.
But the allowing of this truth, which came in my meditation, through this song, and the song, you know, you can say is a metaphor. Whatever comes when I'm working with
right.
the felt sense, I work a lot with metaphor. It doesn't have to make any sense whatsoever initially, but I immediately see it as metaphor for something that is speaking in me, in my felt sense.
Yeah, yeah. So I wanted to maybe give you a sense of what I'm hearing.
All right.
That pressure, that internal pressure, that Greek chorus, was in a way too much to just handle by just noticing it, letting it go. And what focusing enabled you to do is to digest it, to unpack it, there was a lot in it, and that it allowed you to see what was in it, and having seen it allowed you to let it go.
You know, the interesting thing is, I want to just change one thing. I didn't allow it to go.
Mm-hmm.
It went. In the allowing, in the focusing mm-hmm. in that moment, it changed. As the felt sense is always freshly forming.
Yeah.
Right? It's not a static thing. So the connection with it took the vehicle of a song.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I didn't have to scratch my head, so to speak. Why am I singing this?
No,
it was very clear, and I actually, it felt like I burst out laughing. I don't think I did, but I might have made a funny little sound because, oh, this is what was driving me. The whole,
yeah.
Gotta be this, gotta be that. I cannot allow, I don't feel strong.
Right,
no,
right.
No, that.
But so even when you said, you know, just the sense of the laughing,
yeah.
whether you actually laughed or not, is maybe kind of a sense of that physical release
yes,
from the
exactly.
holding.
That was the felt shift.
Yeah.
That was the felt shift. And you know, that's an interesting example because it's just an interesting story.
It's a very beautiful example.
Yeah, it's not always like that.
Yeah.
But I do want to just reiterate that when I have thoughts in as I'm sitting, allowing, and thoughts are cascading for whatever their reasons, I might say hello, and just saying hello, they'll just completely fall away, or they don't, and then I will make a deliberate intention to come into the felt sense. So I'm coming into my body.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, that is one of the sense doors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So we don't separate body and mind in Buddhism, but unfortunately the body in Buddhism, except, say, you learn a little yoga or this or that, this kind of listening in this way is not part of, generally part of Buddhist practice,
yeah,
instructions. Although I think many teachers are discovering that we do have emotions and we do have a body. And I think that, I know there's one wonderful Tibetan teacher, he actually just had a whole retreat on emotions.
Hmm.
Because it's not something that he would necessarily be practicing with from his culture, but recognizing that he's here now in the West.
Mm-hmm.
And his students are coming in with, my daughter just left for college, or my husband just lost his job.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very important to be able to work with emotions. So how to do that? So I think a lot of teachers are discovering the different skillful means.
Yeah.
And I am so incredibly grateful to Jean.
Mm-hmm.
And to Mary, and to all the focusing teachers. Mm-hmm. And I want to say to Anne Weiser-Cornell, because her language is presence language,
mm-hmm,
which is gorgeous, because on the cushion when we're sitting, why are we sitting? To be in presence, to be here right
mm-hmm
now. So her language of going into the felt sense is, I'm sensing something in me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in the Tony Braxton thing, if a song hadn't come, I'm sensing something in me that has a pressure.
Yeah.
And that brings me right into the immediacy rather than the identification
mm-hmm
with, oh, I'm feeling pressure, which
right
would still be in the realm of the thoughts.
Yeah, it's really being in the experience instead
exactly
of talking about it or analyzing it or conceptualizing from the outside.
Exactly. It's beautiful. There's such a difference. Even in the earlier instructions that I had as and that I was teaching, having a thought, I'm feeling pressure. Those were the instructions from my teacher,
mm-hmm,
Joko, which was really radical. She was the only teacher even teaching anything like this, attending to the thoughts in
mm-hmm
this way. But still, something deeper needed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the focusing.
Yeah.
The going into the felt sense and the sensing something in me is feeling pressure.
Yeah.
Or feeling, how much longer is this sitting going on? I mean, I can't sit here another moment, or it doesn't really matter, whatever it is.
But
we're
so
not, yeah,
it's really the sensing it being a different operation.
Right, it's
from
sensing
thinking it.
Something.
Right.
I'm sensing something in me.
Mm-hmm.
It's different from, I'm feeling pressure.
Yeah.
Or having a thought, I'm feeling a lot of pressure.
So I think that's a really very powerful thing that's
yeah
quite obvious as we talk, but
yeah
maybe it makes sense to stay there for a moment, that difference between the thinking of thought, the thinking about, and the sensing. And that thing is not just about body, but is really about really being in the moment.
Right. And the intention is to, since we're dealing with thoughts, since we're dealing with some kind of content, is to be in the moment in my felt sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. So maybe is that a good place to conclude this about that sense of what focusing brings is being in the felt sense in the moment.
Yes, which when we're not doing meditation, most of the time we're not. Our intention is to bring our awareness into mm-hmm. the felt sense, and then we're doing that in the moment.
Yeah.
Now, it's different, you know, the goals are different, and that's another whole talk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming we don't have time.
No, we can maybe leave it for another time.
Yes, okay. That's another whole thing.
Great, thanks, Anna.
You're very welcome.
This is part of the Focusing Conversations series of the Focusing Institute, hosted by Serge Prangle. All contents are protected by copyright. You can find other such conversations on our website at focusing.org/conversations.